In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, yes. I tell you, great things are going to happen in Days of Glory between November 7th and 10th. Oh, yes, Days of Glory. We will be praising God. We will be worshiping the Lord. We will be teaching. There will be activations, and there will be ministry. Oh, yes, this is what happens in Days of Glory. We have speakers that come, speakers that are known all over the country and even the world, because God has anointed them between the days of 7th of November and 10th of November. Where is it held? The Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. The Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. Where? 15 Middlesex Canal Park, Woburn. Yes, the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. 15 Middlesex Canal Park, Woburn, Mass. If you'd like to call, asking for a special rate, it's 781-935-8760. 781-935-8760. 781-935-8760. Are you coming? Are you coming on the 7th of November? Are you coming to stay with us until the 10th of November? Are you coming to glorify the Lord? Are you coming to meet other Christians and Catholics that are sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, it's all about being sold out to Jesus the Lord. Are you sold out to Him today? Does He carry your burdens? Does He carry your burdens? Do you leave your burdens at the foot of the cross? I tell you, we need to remember that He is the burden carrier. His name is Jesus. He is the one who carries our burdens, if we let Him. If not, we just carry them ourselves, and they bring us into quicksand. Emotional quicksand. Oh yes, how we need to come together. How we need to come together between November 7th and 10th, Days of Glory. And I tell you, the glory comes. The glory comes. How we need the presence of God. How we need that God would pour out His Holy Spirit upon us in ways that we've never experienced. We need that. Now, who will be speaking? Father Tom, Maria Vadia, Patricia King, Sister Linda, Dr. Renee, they will be speaking. Oh, yes. We will be speaking the Word of God. We will be speaking the power of the Holy Spirit. You are invited. I invite you between November 7th and 10th to Days of Glory. How we need to come together. Oh yes, we came together for the School of the Holy Spirit in Winthrop. And I've heard the marvelous things that happen to different people. Marvelous things that happened because we came to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to hear the Lord speak through His Word, and people were activated to give their lives to Jesus. Activated. That's again Days of Glory, November 7th to the 10th at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn in Woburn, Massachusetts. 781-935-8760. I'm looking at what I looked at yesterday, but not all of it, at the 19th chapter and the 28th verse of John. After this, when Jesus knew that all was finished, that he had taken himself, had taken all the burdens and all the sins of the world, in order to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. I thirst. He not only was thirsty for some liquid, but he thirsts for you. He thirsts for me. He thirsts for us. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the wine, he said, it is finished. Oh, yes. We preach the finished work of Christ. It is finished. What you're going through, it is finished. Jesus took it on the cross. It is finished. How we need to proclaim the finished work of Jesus Christ. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. But he took within himself every man, woman, and child from Adam and Eve until the last man, woman, and child were born in the earth. He took upon himself all created beings. Oh, yes. Who did that? His name is Jesus. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross. It was the day that was going to be a Sabbath and going to be the Passover during the Sabbath, especially because the Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. Oh, yes. It was not only the Sabbath, but it was the Passover. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified be broken, the legs of the men broken, and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other who had been crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Oh, the Paschal Lamb had to be complete and entire. Oh, yes. He was and is the Paschal Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Paschal Lamb. He is the Lamb that was slain. He is the King of glory. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced the side of Jesus with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. Blood representing the Eucharist and water representing baptism. He who saw this testifies so that you may also believe. John's gospel is written so that you may come to faith in Jesus Christ. His testimony is true. And he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken, the Paschal Lamb. And again, another passage of scripture, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Oh, yes. They will look on him on whom they have pierced. Chapter 19:38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one, because of fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, I call him Tricky Nicky, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh, aloes weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices in linen cloths according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place, just like in Genesis, but this is the new Genesis. There was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation for Passover and the Sabbath, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. They laid Jesus there in a borrowed tomb. Chapter 20 of John. Early on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Why was the stone removed? It was removed to let the women in, not to let Jesus out. Jesus goes right through those stones, those big, enormous stones. He's got a resurrected body. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, John, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Oh, yes, she thinks that someone took Jesus out of the tomb. Ha! She's going to find out that he is risen. And I want to tell you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that Holy Spirit dwells in you if you are a believer. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple, John, outran Peter while he was young and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Why? He's waiting for Peter, who is the prince of the apostles, to come in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linens wrapping lying there, and the cloths that had been at Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, John, who reached the tomb first, also went in. Listen to this. He saw and he believed. Oh, yes. He did not only believe that the body of Jesus was gone, he believed that the Lord had been raised from the dead. He saw and believed. Do you believe today that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, that he gave us his finished work on the cross, and that he has been raised from the dead? Do you believe that? He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciple returned to their homes. Oh, yes. But who stays by the tomb? But Mary Magdalene stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she went over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white standing where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Oh, yes. We continue. Then, and when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Why? He's got a risen body. He's got a risen body. He is glorified. Let's continue. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, because it was a garden, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Ah, Rabboni," which means "my teacher." I tell you, she heard the voice of the shepherd. "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." She knew it was the Lord Jesus' voice, even though he was in the glorified body. She knew that Jesus Christ now was not dead, but had been raised from the dead. Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. This is important, because Jesus is drawn to Mary by her love. Jesus is supposed to go to the Father first. Listen, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. They think she's crazy. They think she's crazy. It's only a woman. But you see, women during the time of the Magdalene were not witnesses in the court. But Jesus makes her a witness of the resurrection. She is the apostle who preaches to the apostles. Oh, yes. She is the apostle that preaches to the apostle that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, that Sunday, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met, they were locked for fear of the Jews. What are they afraid of? They're afraid they're going to be next. They've heard that Jesus rose from the dead, but they don't believe it. Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom, peace be with you. Oh yes, shalom. Not only peace, but prosperity, health, goodness. Shalom, be with you. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Shalom be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. I tell you, it was like mouth to mouth. And said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If you forgive the sins of men, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of men, they are retained. Here is the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. This is it. Jesus instituted it through the apostles. But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So what do you think is going to happen? They are going to say, Thomas, the Lord came to us. He went through the doors. He came to us and he breathed on us and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. But Thomas is not going to believe. He's going to say, Unless I put my fingers in his wounds, unless I put my fingers in his hands and in his feet and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. So the other disciples told Thomas, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. In other words, he wants proof of the resurrection of Jesus. And isn't it important that Jesus comes with glorified wounds? Oh yes, he's still in heaven now with glorified wounds. A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, shut, Jesus came and stood among them, came right through the doors and said, Shalom be with you, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. If he did that, he touched the heart of Jesus. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. We say that when the host is raised up after the consecration. My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Are you one of the blessed? I've not seen Jesus, but I have come to believe that he died for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. I believe this. I've heard his voice. I've heard his voice. Once I heard it audibly. Oh, yes. I heard the voice of the Lord, and everything calmed down with the voice of the Lord. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That's why we tell people who come to the Lord at the beginning to read John's Gospel. Why? These things have been written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through faith you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. What name? The name of Jesus. After these things, chapter 21, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. This is in Galilee. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They had sold all their nets and they had sold all the boats. He's just tired of waiting for the risen Savior. This mystical stuff is too much for me. I want to go do something I know how to do. I want to go fish. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got in the boat, but that night, what happened? They caught nothing. Why? Jesus made sure they caught nothing. And after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered Jesus, no, he said to them. Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find fish. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. John tells us it is the Lord. He recognized the voice of the Lord and what just happened with the fish. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciple came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. And when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it. Jesus is going to give them breakfast and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Why 153? Because that's how many there were. Some people say, well, that's the number of languages. Now we don't know that. 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breaking and breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs with the word and with the Eucharist. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Oh, yes, because they sometimes get lost. He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to the Lord, "You know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not want to go." He was saying this to indicate the kind of death that Peter was going to have to glorify Jesus. I want to read the last verse of 24. "But there are many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that were written." It's time for us to see Jesus doing things in our life. There are many other things that Jesus did. Yes, and he's still doing them. Thanks be to God. And may God bless you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.